Amen. Please turn to Exodus chapter 31 as we have the tabernacle part 4, what it takes to build a tabernacle. The work of God is not all about preaching or singing or speaking or prophets or priests. When it comes to building the tabernacle, what do you need? You need skilled workers. God had given very specific instructions through Moses, his prophet, as to how to build the tabernacle. But someone had to pick up the tools and actually do the constructing. Did God care who did it? Well, apparently, because he chose this man to this work. Exodus chapter 31, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I pronounce it Bezalel. Why? I used to pronounce it Bezalel. And then I examined his name. First part means in. And Zele means shadow. And El, we ought to know, means God. Bezalel, in the shadow of God. How about that? Pretty neat. It's a nice name. God called Bezalel, verse 4, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. In other words, Bezalel was not called to be a priest or a preacher or a missionary. He was called to be a skilled craftsman. God's call, God's will for your life, God's assignment for you, is not only in relationship to pastors and missionaries and what we call full-time Christian workers. When it came to building this building, what was needed? Well, if I had been called upon at the time, I'm telling you, it wouldn't look like it does now, because I'm not a craftsman. Oh, my. We needed somebody to frame it up, to lay the brick, to do the plumbing, to do the electrical work, to do the walls, to put in the windows, to do the painting. Someone needed all of these skills in order to have the church building. And in order to have a house you live in, somebody had to build it. Who drives trucks to bring supplies to the stores you shop in? See what he's carrying on that truck? It's not logs, it's hot dogs. Somebody had to bring the hot dog. How many of you eat hot dogs? Somebody had to bring it to the store, right? It came on a truck. Somebody had to know how to drive trucks. Who invented cash registers? Somebody had to do that. We could go on and on for a long time because there are all kinds of skills that are needed in life. God doesn't call every man to be a pastor and every woman to be a pastor's wife. God doesn't call everyone to go to Africa and be a missionary. God's call in your life could be a life skill the same as Bezalel. Now, Bezalel was filled with the Spirit, verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. notice when we talk about the filling of the Spirit, it is not about quantity. Some people think that the filling of the Spirit means you get the Spirit in you. No, that's the indwelling of the Spirit, when the Spirit comes in you, and that happens once. But the filling of the Spirit, I didn't know how to illustrate control. I found this man that's sort of like a marionette. Have you ever seen a marionette, you know, tied to the strings? The filling of the word filling in relationship to the Holy Spirit means control. Is the Holy Spirit really in control of your life? Are you, in other words, are you yielding to the Holy Spirit? That's the idea. So that he can do a work in you. Well, consider, you don't have to be a pastor or a missionary to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How about the deacons in Acts chapter 6? In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Do you know what the daily ministration was? Delivering food. That sounds like a real spiritual activity, doesn't it? Well, actually, it was a necessary activity. And the disciples were so busy, they didn't have time to do that. Acts chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.'" They wanted somebody that was filled with the Holy Spirit in order to deliver food to the widows. Isn't that interesting? All work can be the work of God. Every one of us ought to want God's influence in our lives so that we can do the work we do well and for his glory. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, it explains this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." In other words, we're talking about basic human activity. Your employer. "Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Consider your employer to be someone you need to obey as if he were Christ himself. Not with eye surface, it says in verse 6, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Are you a janitor sweeping floors? Do that work from the heart as the will of God for your life. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, or whether he be an employee or an employer. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master, Jesus Christ, also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Every Christian can and should be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Bezalel was also given knowledge. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3. Now we skipped wisdom and understanding. We'll come back to that. And if you notice in your outline, the letters are out of order. Did you see that? I did that on purpose. Because knowledge is actually the fourth item. It's letter D, but I put it out of order. You see, God isn't just interested in people doing things. God wants people to know things. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14, wise men lay up knowledge. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant brethren. Now we could read that, I would not have you ignorant brethren. No, I would not have you ignorant brethren. And he says that numerous times, Romans 11, 25, 1 Corinthians 10, 1, 1 Corinthians 12, 1, 2 Corinthians 1, 8, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know things. God wants us to have a wealth of knowledge so that we can use that knowledge. And thus, Bezalel was given wisdom. And what is wisdom? But the ability to use knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to life circumstances. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to know what to do with that knowledge. For example, Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. I've pointed out these verses to you before. It's a very interesting contrast between these two verses. Proverbs 26, 4 says, answer not a fool. Pretty definitive. And the verse right after that, verse 5, says, answer a fool. What? Well, verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. But answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. In other words, we need wisdom to know when to answer a fool and when not to answer a fool. Sometimes when we get involved in a conversation with a fool, we can look just as foolish as he is. But if there is a possibility we might convince him to change his mind, it's time to speak up. That's very practical, isn't it? But it takes wisdom for that. Or how about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8? You remember this passage, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal. Or how about this one, a time to break up and a time to build. Oh, Bezalel, it's time to build the tabernacle. All of these things take wisdom. And then, Exodus 31, verse 3, Bezalel was given understanding. I just love this illustration because I think it so aptly describes understanding. This child's toy that has this box that has all the holes in different shapes, and you have the shapes, and they're supposed to figure out which shape goes with which hole. That's the idea of understanding. We have this bit of information. Where does it fit in life? It takes understanding. Bezalel in chapter 31, verse 3, was given wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. All manner of workmanship. He was given a lot of skills. Did you ever paint by numbers? I did one time. It's pretty easy. All these little tiny spaces with a number on it tells you which color to paint in, and you end up with a pretty nice picture if you stay within the lines. It's sort of like coloring, only a little finer work. Anybody can paint by numbers. But who can paint a beautiful picture from scratch? That takes skill. Practical skills can be learned, but in this case with Bezalel, God worked inside the man first to give him the desire and determination to work at these practical skills, for wisdom and understanding came before knowledge. Isn't that interesting? You would think it would be the other way around, but according to this list, and folks, whenever you see a list, God includes the specific things in the list and in the order they are in the list exactly the way he wants them. There's nothing ever random in the Bible. And so he said wisdom and understanding came before knowledge. He worked inside the man first, filled him with the Spirit, gave him wisdom and understanding, and then came the knowledge and the skill. Inside first, so that he could work outside next. Then Bezalel was given a partner, verse 6. And I behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamac, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The Aholiab means the tent of the father. Bezalel was of the tribe of Judah, a more prominent tribe than the tribe of Dan. Why do I say that? Well, the king came from the tribe of Judah. Who came from the tribe of Dan? Bezalel was singled out in the description of what God had given him. Aholiab is lumped in a group. In the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, he says. Aholiab seems to be a man of lesser distinction than Bezalel. But understand this. Helpers are never insignificant. Moses had Aaron. Elijah was given Elisha. Paul had Aquila and Priscilla, among others. Husbands are given wives as helpers. We're told that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." I think the way to express it is, we need help. You better be thankful for your helper. But to show how significant helpers are, this word is applied to God himself. Psalm 54, verse 4, "Behold, God is mine helper." Wow. Wives, when you see in the scripture that you are the helper, don't ever think that's an insignificant or subservient position. It is a rather divine appointment, and it is a reflection of God himself, because God himself is a helper. It is a rather significant role, and any position in life where you might find yourself to be the helper, it is a significant role. Then Bezalel was given the ability to teach others. Exodus 35, verse 30. Exodus 35 and verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, repeating exactly what it said in chapter 31, and now explaining a different role for him, verse 31. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, and wisdom, and understanding, and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, did devise, and repeating all of this. And he, verse 34, he hath put in his heart that he may teach. Both he and Aholiab, the helper, is also a teacher. How about that? The son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and the cunning workman, of the embroiderer, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, of those that devise cunning work. He gave them all of those skills. And in verse 34, he gave them the ability to teach other people how to do all of those things. Here's the thing. No matter what God has called us to do, no matter what job we have in life, no matter what skill God has granted us, we should never see ourselves as the dead end to the work. So that we can retire and say, oh, didn't I do a good job, and that's the end of that. No. Instead, we should see ourselves as just one link in a chain. Someone taught us how to do what we know how to do. We need to teach the next generation to follow behind. Unlike Hezekiah's attitude, you remember Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 20? Hezekiah was granted 15 more years in his life. And visitors came from Babylon, and he takes them throughout all of the palace and everywhere and shows them all the treasures that they have. Everything of value. He just shows it off. Isaiah comes to him and says, do you realize what you've done? You've just shown the enemy everything we have. Now they know what to come for. Well, that was great. Hezekiah says in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 19, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. It's a good thing that you showed all the enemy everything we've got and they know what to come for. Oh, and he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Well, as long as it doesn't happen in my lifetime, I won't be bothered about it. He saw himself as a dead end to the prosperity of Israel, and it didn't bother him. We should not have that kind of attitude. There should be an unending chain of passing on what God has given to us. Would you go over to Psalm 71 and verse 17? Psalm 71 and verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. David is speaking here. What did David do in his youth? Well, he killed Goliath, didn't he? Wow. You think he learned some lessons in order to do that? Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. All these years, he says, I've been telling people about it. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. He says, I don't want to be a dead end to what I know. I want to pass it on. Psalm 78. Asaph wrote this psalm, and in Psalm 78, verse 1, he says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." This is what God intended for Israel from the beginning, verse 5. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with them." Teach the next generation. Prepare them. And then consider what the New Testament says over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." There are four generations in this verse of Scripture. Me, that's Paul. Thou, that's Timothy. Timothy is supposed to teach faithful men, and those faithful men are supposed to teach others. Four generations. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, "The aged women," in verse 4, "that they may teach the young women." The Bible is full of instruction that we must not leave out the next generation. Thus all the skills that Bezalel and Aholiab were given, they weren't given just so they could build the tabernacle. Now they needed them to build the tabernacle. But they were given so that they could pass those things on to others. Do you know what God has called you to do? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, that he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 5, the Macedonians gave generously, even though they were rather poor, according to the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 3, we're told that we are to live clean lives, sanctification, according to the will of God. And then the passage we heard and observed a little bit ago, Ephesians chapter 6, we do our jobs and serve our employers by the will of God. There is a lot more to the will of God than simply being a pastor or a missionary. And we can know God's will. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye," number one, "present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And number two, be not conformed to this world. And number three, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And what's the next word? "That." The first three things, those three things, are prerequisites to the next thing. If you will present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, if you will be not conformed to this world, and if you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you can do this last thing. Then you can prove, discern, understand what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. Are you prepared in your heart to do the will of God? Are you prepared to teach the next generation what God has taught you? That's what it took to build the tabernacle. It took someone who was prepared from their heart to do the will of God in their life, which didn't include preaching, didn't include missionary work. Those are callings. But this man was called to build a tabernacle. That was God's call upon his life. And to teach the next generation what he knew. So what has God called you to do? Are you prepared from your heart to do that? And will you pass it on? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Bezaleel, for Aholiab, for all of those who helped them build the tabernacle. Thank you for the testimony of their lives, that they did not just decide one day to be a carpenter or whatever. It was your will for them to do those things. You equipped them to do those things. Lord, there may be among us some who you have or are calling to be pastors and missionaries. That's great. It's a noble calling. But no less noble is to be called to a skill, to be called to be a helper in many different tasks in life. Help each one to know your will and to have the desire to accomplish that in a way that will bring honor and glory to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.